When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, for thousands of years, the meaning of life came from God. Then modernity invented humanism, which promised a society ruled by reason. But as centuries rolled in, the promised freedom and equality never materialized for the majority of people. The invisible hands of God were replaced by the invisible hands of the state, and its institutions became the arbiter of justice, equality, and freedom. But modernity does not provide us with meaning in life, only duty and responsibility to pay tax and obey rules. If not, we are punished. Franz Kafka and Albert Camus captured the absurdity of modern existence. On the one hand, we desire meaning for our lives, yet no meaning can be found. All we have is endless duties and responsibilities. Kafka diagnoses this modern absurdity, and Camus attempts to provide a solution. So in this video, I'll compare the two, look at their common themes as well as differences, and we'll also try to answer a simple question. Whose life is more absurd? Both Franz Kafka and Albert Camus were outsiders. Born in 1883, Kafka was a Jew in Prague. Born in 1913, Camus was French in Algeria. Being outsiders also allowed them certain privileges. Kafka was educated in German in a predominantly Czech-speaking Prague, while Camus was educated in French in a predominantly Arabic-speaking Algeria. In Austro-Hungarian Empire, German was the language of the ruling elite. In colonial Algeria, French was the language of the powerful. Kafka wrote his novels in German, while Camus wrote in French. It is possible we would have never heard of them had they written in Czech and Arabic. Both writers grew up atheist. While Camus was stronger in his rejection of religion, Kafka was a little more restrained. Perhaps because Camus grew up fatherless, as his father died in World War I before he was born, while Kafka's father was a strong, menacing figure throughout his life. This is also depicted in their fiction. Camus' fiction doesn't have an overbearing, tyrannical authority, while Kafka's fiction cannot shake off the presence of an overbearing, tyrannical figure over his characters. Kafka studied law while Camus studied philosophy. Kafka worked at an insurance company, mostly stuck behind a desk pushing paper, while Camus worked as a journalist who had a bit of more freedom to go out and about. Kafka was engaged twice but never married, nor had any kids. Camus, however, was married twice and had two kids. Both Kafka and Camus suffered from tuberculosis. Kafka died in 1924 from TB, aged 40. Camus died in a car crash in 1960, aged 46. Both Kafka's The Trial and Camus' The Stranger are about two men condemned to death by the authorities. Kafka's most famous novel, The Trial, tells the story of Joseph K., a banker who is arrested for a crime he doesn't know he has committed, and by people who never identify themselves. Justice is twisted here because he's guilty before he commits a crime. Quote, "Somebody must have made a false accusation against Joseph K., for he was arrested one morning without having done anything wrong." His attempt to understand his crime fails. His lawyer also treats him badly. He's a fly trapped in a spider web, so there's only one outcome. Age 35, Joseph is executed outside the city without him ever finding out what his crime was. In Albert Camus' most famous novel, The Stranger, Merceau knows his crime because he has murdered an Arab man on a beach in Algeria. The prosecution and the judge, however, press him on a whole different crime, his indifference to the death of his mother. When his mother died, Merceau acted as if nothing had happened. Camus says, quote, "In our society, any man who does not weep at his mother's funeral runs the risk of being sentenced to death." In other words, Merceau is not only guilty for killing someone, but is also guilty for not crying at his mother's funeral. While in prison, waiting for his execution, Merceau spent days soul-searching to find meaning. Finally, he settles on one incredible conclusion that nobody can escape death. Just like Joseph K., Merceau accepts his fate. So in both novels, guilt is the main theme. But what's different between the two is that Kafka says we're guilty no matter what we do. Walking down the street, you're judged or observed by others, and today by CCTVs. Camus, on the other hand, says we're not just guilty by breaking the law, but we're also guilty if we don't fit the norm or do not act as expected. The stereotype that men don't cry may have evolutionary or historical explanation, but in modernity it can be explained as toxic masculinity, therefore dangerous. Modernity's main priority is safety, therefore stoicism can be interpreted as mysterious, and you must explain your lack of care or your indifference, otherwise you're guilty. To be a dutiful citizen, one must behave as expected by others, especially the state, otherwise you must be guilty of something. The Metamorphoses, Kafka's most terrifying work, is about Gregor Samsa, a traveling salesman who wakes up one morning to find himself turned into an insect. At first, he thinks it's just a nightmare that might pass, but soon he realizes that this is all real. He's trapped inside a house and unable to go outside or work. Realizing that he's no longer wanted by his family because he's unable to fulfill his provisioning duties, Gregor Samsa starves himself to death. The Myth of Sisyphus is a philosophical essay by Albert Camus. Sisyphus is a Greek titan condemned to push a boulder up a mountain for eternity. Every time he pushes the rock up the mountain, it tumbles down and he has to go back down and push it back up the mountain. This process goes on for eternity without any hope of change or stop, showing the futility and absurdity of life. In other words, just as in Kafka's Metamorphoses, we are condemned to fulfill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Our duties and responsibilities in life. In Kafka's story, for society and your family, you're only valuable as long as you're a provider, useful and productive member. In other words, you are capable of fulfilling your duties. While Camus also says we are condemned to fulfill our duties, he is also more hopeful. Quote, "The struggle itself is enough to fill a man's heart. One must imagine Sisyphus happy. Every time Sisyphus pushes the rock to the top, there is a brief moment of happiness. The same goes for us. After completing every task or duty, we do feel joy, however short it may last." But in both Kafka and Camus, one thing we cannot do is escape our duty. Even evolution has wired us with duty of procreation. After food, the second strongest urge we have might be sex, which is nothing more than a duty to continue the next generation. If Sisyphus is condemned to push a rock for eternity, we are condemned to push on with the human species for as long as we can. Both Kafka and Camus believe that life is for the most part absurd and meaningless. In Kafka's world, you are arrested without any crime, turned into an insect without knowing why, executed by your own machine, or die of hunger while being a hunger artist. Kafka can be read in two different ways. One way is through the lens of comedy. His plots are so bizarre that nothing makes sense, so it must be some kind of comedy of error. But at the same time, it's serious, as we can see hints of those things in our own lives. The nightmares of existence experienced by his characters are experienced by a lot of people, and most acutely by those entangled in the legal system. Camus formulated his ideas more clearly in his philosophy of absurdism, which I have explained in more detail in my video on Camus' philosophy. To put it simply, we seek meaning, but the universe has no meaning for us, so this creates an absurd situation. If the universe has no meaning for us, why do we have the desire to seek meaning? It makes no sense. Camus' fiction, however, is not as dark as Kafka's fiction. His stories are perhaps more grounded in reality than the far-fetched stories of Kafka. You could say that Camus enjoyed life a little bit more than Kafka, as he was a respected journalist, author, married, had kids, and even won a Nobel Prize. While Kafka never got the recognition in his life, for years suffered from ill health, hated his job, and had to deal with an overbearing father. Kafka even told his friend Max Brod to burn his books, but his friend betrayed him by publishing them. You can justify Max's action, but from Kafka's own perspective, it's a betrayal. Max became famous because he betrayed his friend. Of course, we don't know exactly how the conversation went between them or how Kafka was feeling at the time. Camus died at the height of fame, while Kafka was only discovered after his death. If absurdity is we want something we can't have, Kafka's life is more absurd. Kafka died without knowing he was a literary success. Kafka even tried to get married, but the woman he was engaged to rejected him. He even wanted his writing to be burned. He failed in almost everything while alive. His success only came after his death, which makes his life more absurd. But on the flip side, if life has no meaning, then why bother about legacy? It is more absurd if you manage to create great legacy, because not only is it far harder to part ways with them, it has no meaning, so why bother at all? Camus left a biological legacy through his children and a literary legacy through his books. But life has no meaning, so why did he even bother? In his first novel, A Happy Death, written in late 1930s but published posthumously in 1971, Albert Camus responds to Schopenhauer's will to life and Nietzsche's will to power. Arthur Schopenhauer argued that all living beings, including humans, are driven by a blind will to life. We can't help but continue living despite how miserable we might be. Not only that, we also continue making babies, so we continue the misery of human existence forever. Sexual pleasure is a reward like flowers rewards insects with nectar to help them pollinate. Falling in love is another trick to make an otherwise simple task of procreation sound more beautiful. Nietzsche, who came a few decades later, thought this will to life or survival was too passive, so introduced his idea as will to power. All living beings are here to conquer, and humans are here to achieve greatness. In his novel, Albert Camus, however, shows that life is not about surviving or conquering, but it's about our deep desire to be happy and joyful. So the will to joy is Camus' solution to the absurdity of life. Life is absurd and has no meaning, but we all can experience moments of joy. Life is meaningless and it has no purpose, therefore you're free. Now we don't have to seek meaning. The only thing left is duty and joy. That's it. Do your work and feel a short moment of satisfaction. Just like Sisyphus, every time I finish one of these videos, I feel happy. But the next day, I have to start working on a new video. So Kafka saw no escape from the absurdities of life, while Camus was able to find joy in life. Camus settled on the idea that life is meaningless, but it is what it is. Nothing can be done about it. By accepting that life is absurd, you rebel, you say, I don't care if there's no meaning. I'm going to live my life despite it not having any meaning. For thousands of years, we relied on gods to offer us meaning. But now we are mature, rational enough to say, we love life because it has no meaning. We continue on living because it's absurd. For Camus, we do not need to live or die for God, but live because life makes no sense. That's our rebellion. In fact, all living beings live because it has no meaning. So let's not complain about it and just get on with life. Thank you very much. What do you think? Leave a comment down below.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.